believe in the Old Testament, but we believe that it is not the law that we are under today. And so that's what we want to look at tonight for just a little bit and understand some of that. Many people in the world believe... Oh, there it is. Okay, got that. We're doing good here. Many people look at the Old Testament and say, well, you know, was it inspired of God? Well, if you go to Exodus 20, looking at the Ten Commandments, it said God said it. I don't know how much more inspired you can get when it just states specifically that God said that. But also, when we see 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, where it says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructing and teaching us in what is right. That important little word, the purpose of all that, so that the man of God might be completely, thoroughly, whatever you want to do, it's everything for man. To help him to know what's right and the right way to go. That's not just talking about the New Testament. It's talking about the Old Testament too, because it was inspired of God. Now, we need to look at the Old Testament and the covenant that God made with His people there. This was the first covenant. This was the first covenant, and we need to emphasize that. We talk about the patriarchal, the mosaical, and then the Christian age. Well, those help us to understand the ages, but what we have to do is understand this Old Testament law of Moses was the first covenant God had made with His people, or with any people. Before, people were supposed to follow God, and God helped those leaders of the family to be able to know what was right and wrong. In the old covenant, or the first covenant, what He was doing was helping those people to understand we have a relationship with each other. Now, I don't know if you've ever bought a car before, but what you did when you bought that car, unless you paid cash for it, I don't know but two or three people that can do that, the way they cost nowadays, but you're entering into a covenant with usually some company that finances that. Now, that's the reason you sign all those papers. You sign that you're going to make the payment on such and such a day, and you're going to make so many payments on that. Well, you get that covenant, and you sign that with them, and then all of a sudden you decide after about 6 months, you know, I don't want to pay for that. I just don't think I need to pay for that. And so you stop paying for it. Now, anybody know what's going to happen? They'll come and pick it up. Gary used to get to do that. they'll come and pick it up. Why do they do that? You've broke the covenant. Now, that's important for us to understand, especially when we look at this Old Testament, this old covenant that God had made with His people. He made a covenant with them. If you do this, I will do that. Now, we live in a world today where many people look at that and they just assume to go the Old Testament as the New Testament to try to find out what we're supposed to do. We've got to understand if we go to the Old Testament to try to teach doctrinal things that we're supposed to be doing today, now we can use that as an example. Romans talks about that, how that those scriptures of the past were helping us to understand what was right and the way to go. But the New Testament is the law that we're under today. But a lot of people go back to the Old Testament. And you know, one of the first things that we want to go to when we go back to the Old Testament, and a lot of people do this, what they do is they go back and they say, well, we'll like take this command and this command and this command and forget about that one. Because one of those commands is that we're going to work on the Sabbath. Are we going to worship on the Sabbath day? What day is that? Saturday. Okay? I've heard people on the radio and the television say, it's the Sabbath day. And I'm thinking, it's the first day of the week, boys. Have you counted right? I mean, seven is not one. And so we can't have a sabbatical seventh day on the first day. We are those that worship under New Testament Christianity, and so we worship on the first day of the week. Now, we're not trying to justify that now, but I think we can see in the Scriptures where that's justified, and we're not supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath. But, you know, you can go down the road just a little bit here, and you'll see people that are worshiping on the Sabbath day on Saturday. They do that. You can see people that they teach doctrines such as premillennialism because of what the Old Testament says. They say that the children of Israel did not get their promised land, so God's going to come back and He's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years, sitting on His throne in Jerusalem, and everybody's going to be there, all the good people. And He's going to reign and rule there. And then they go into the Battle of Armageddon and do a whole lot of other things. And you go, wow, where did they get that? Do you think about that? Where did they get all those things? Is the preacher saying things right? He doesn't talk about those things. He doesn't talk about that. And then we go on. We've got even brethren that teach like the 80-70 doctrine, where you have to go back to the Old Testament, you got to prove that and bring it over into the New Testament. What we need to do is to understand the Old Testament law. Some people have divided the Ten Commandments into that's God's commandments, and then the rest of that is a ceremonial law. You can do away with the ceremonial law, but you've got to keep the Ten Commandments. But they worship on the first day of the week instead of on the Sabbath day. I don't understand that. I don't understand what they're trying to do here. So what we're going to try to do today, or tonight, is to look at this and understand what Christ is trying to say, what Paul was trying to say, what the Bible is trying to say about what law we're under today. And we need to understand that. So we want to look at this Old Testament and see this for just a minute. Now, I want us to see this. The law of Moses was the first old covenant that was made. And we need to recognize that. Now, please understand, the patriarchal age is there, but that was not a covenant. The covenant was made with the children of Israel. That's who we want to look at here in just a minute. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews the 8th chapter and verse 6. Hebrews the 8th chapter and verse 6. I want you to see this as the Hebrew writer talks about it. And what they're trying to do, the book of Hebrews is written to those people that are Jewish people that have maybe obeyed the gospel, but now those people are starting to wonder, should we go back under that Old Testament? Should we go back under that old law? Should we leave Christianity? Or can we just take a little bit of Christianity and a little bit of Judaism and kind of put it together and make that? And that's what some people have done. But look at what the Hebrew writer says here. Look at starting at verse 6, and this is the end of the paragraph. Verse 1 says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, what he's saying is, we don't have a high priest on this earth anymore. Our high priest is in heaven. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. And he's magnifying Jesus Christ. He comes down to verse 6. He said, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator. Listen to this. Of a better covenant. Of a better covenant. Which was established on better promises. Now he's talking about here's one covenant over here, but here's another covenant over here, and this covenant, this new covenant, has better promises, better things. It's a better covenant. Now, look as he goes on in verse 7 here. For if the first covenant had been faultless, if there was no problems with the first covenant, then it's a simple thing, if there's no place for the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for the second. You got two covenants here. You got a first one and you got a second one. Now, we're going to look and see what first covenant is and what second covenant is. And he's saying here, this first covenant had problems with it. That's the reason. I mean, simple reasoning. If you got a problem with the first one, or if you're going to have a second one, there was a problem with the first one. Now look as he goes on in verse 8. Because finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Right, now, what covenant was made with the house of Israel? What covenant was made with the children of Israel? And he's going to point out specifically who it is here. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according, verse 9, to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Now listen to this. Their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Right, now, where's that first covenant made? Mount Sinai, in Horeb? That's the first covenant. That's the Ten Commandment covenant. You remember reading that in the Old Testament in Exodus 20 when God spoke His word to the people and the people there heard that and they heard that word. That's the first covenant. All right, now we're going to look at the second covenant and see that. And so here He said, these people, they did not continue in my covenant. What did they not do? They did not. And I don't want to illustrate this too much out of the way. They did not make the payments. And therefore God, that covenant had to be separated. It had to be broken. There had to be another one put in there. Because people could not follow it. Here's a law. In essence, the Jews have said, if you give us a law, God, we'll follow it. And God said, okay, I'm going to take these people, these Jewish people, not that He loved them more than He loved anybody else, but He chose a people. I really think He chose it because of Abraham. He chose a people, and He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and even to the point that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. He wants these people to know how wonderful they are and how fortunate they need to feel, and also how obedient they need to be. The problem was, they didn't recognize how obedient they need to be. They didn't recognize the law that they were under. And there was no way they could keep that law. It's going to talk about faith in just a little bit. But He said here, for this is the commandment I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, listen to this, here's the second covenant. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He said, here's this first covenant. You didn't keep it. It was broken. Not on God's part, on our part. God kept His word and has always kept His word and always will. The problem in the covenant is on our part. We don't keep our part. We are sinful. We're people that have a tendency to do wrong. That just seems to be within our nature. God found out that when He placed Adam and Eve on this earth. We suffer as a consequence of their sin, but God saw at that time how mankind was going to be. And He said, I've got to send something else. I've got to send a law here so that man will know the right way to go. I've got to send something that's based upon faith and not just based on obedience and obeying all the law, because we can't do that. Let me ask you something, and think about this before you answer it. Can we obey all of the New Testament? Nope. Wish we could. Sometimes preachers talk like we do. But we don't. Romans 3 and verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for Jesus Christ, we would all be lost. But for Jesus Christ, every Jewish person that was striving to live according to the law, they would also be lost. Even back into the patriarchal age. The blood of Christ goes back to that. But here in Hebrews 6, it shows us the two laws here, and it shows us how that one of those laws is going to be done away with, and there's going to be another law that God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to establish it, I'm going to put it in the hearts of people, and that's where it needs to be. It's not in a temple. Honestly, it's not in a church building. Now we teach people that the church is what? The people. Okay. And then we act like this is the church, which is not right. The church has to be in your heart, or it's nowhere at all. And sitting in a church building does not necessarily mean that we're Christians. showing how that affects our lives. I think Mark talked about that this morning. Showing how our lives are affected in that, that's what helps to change us. We hopefully can see in Deuteronomy 5, I want you to see who the law was written to. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 5. Now, just mark these passages. I'm going to tell you something. If you look at Deuteronomy is just the repeating of the law. The children of Israel are about to go in the promised land, and they are the descendants of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, are about to go into the promised land, and they need to hear the law. They need to know the law. And so the law is repeated again to them so that they will understand what they're supposed to do. In Deuteronomy 5, starting with verse 1, now listen to who the law was given to. And Moses called all of who? Israel. Who is that? The Jewish nation. Called all of Israel and said to them, the Israelites, Hear, O Israel. I mean, if you miss that one, you're missing a lot. Hear, O Israel. The statutes and the judgments which I have spoke to you hearing in your hearing today, that the reason you may learn them and be careful to observe them. He said, I'm giving you the law today so that you will know it, you can learn it, and you can obey it. That's what you're supposed to do. Observe it. That's what they were supposed to do. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us. Where at? In Horeb, at Mount Sinai. He made a covenant with Israel. Listen to this. He's never made that covenant with America or any other country. He made it with Israel alone. That was all. Now, all of the world will be blessed because of that covenant with Israel, because God will show His colors, His feelings, His likes, His unlikes, His love, His care, His concern in that Old Testament law. That's the reason we need to study it. If all you study is the New Testament, you are missing a lot from God. You need to study the Old Testament because it helps us to see God in a greater way. It helps us to know who God is. The Lord, listen to this, did not make this covenant with our fathers. Okay, now who's that? That's the people that He brought out of Egypt that would not follow, that would not listen to God. He didn't make that covenant with them. He didn't make the covenant with those people back there. But He made that covenant with Israel, the people that were there, the people that stood at the foot of the mountain, and they heard the voice of God. They heard God speak. They saw the cloud. They saw the lightning, the thunder. They saw the fire. They saw the power of God. Now, they didn't see God, but they saw the power of God. And because they saw that, it should have been enough for those people to follow the will of God. So here we have, who's this law? Who's this law of Moses given to? Well, it's given to the children of Israel. It was not given to you. It was not given to me. It was not given to any other people except Israel. Now, we read this while ago. Just passage after, time after time, He mentions Israel, He mentions Israel, He mentions Israel. That's the one that people need to follow. And that's the one He made the covenant with. He did not make that Old Testament covenant with us. And we have to understand that. He established a new covenant, a new law. Now, when you read Paul, sometimes he talks about the old law, and some people think, well, he didn't like the old law. Well, no, they like the old law. And Paul even talks about how that old law in Romans, I think it's 7, he talks about how that the old law helped him to understand what right and wrong was. How would I know what not to be covetous if it wasn't for God telling me to do that, Paul said. How would I know that? I know that because of what God has said. What God has said to us. And so here's God helping us to understand that. What is the Old Testament? The Old Testament and the law of Moses is that commands and statutes that God has given. We could go to Deuteronomy 4, start at verse 10 and go down through there, and it just states specifically that these are the commands and the statutes that were given to the children of Israel that they were to follow. They're not for us to follow today. Now somebody said, are you saying we're not under the Ten Commandments? Yes. We're not under the Ten Commandments. Oh, man, you don't like that the Ten Commandments. You don't like the old law. No, didn't say that. We're under a new law. And we've already read where that new law is established under better promises. It's a better covenant with God. You see, we enter in, when we become a Christian, we enter into a covenant with God. We say to God, God, I hear what you say, and I'm going to do it, whatever it is. Now, I need to know what it is. And he says, here it is. Here's the inspired word that's given to you from the apostles. They performed the miracles to show that they were from God and that their word was from God and that people were to obey their word because it was from God. Now that's for us today to follow. That's what God wants us to follow. And we've got to recognize how important it is. And so here are these commandments. Here's these statutes that were given. How long was this law to last? Now, turn if you would to Galatians, the third chapter. In Galatians, the third chapter. Let me get over there myself. In Galatians 3. In verse 19, I lost Galatians. Did y'all find it? I got it. In Galatians 3, starting in verse 19, listen to what he says here. What purpose then does the law serve? He had talked about the law and trying to help people to understand they weren't under the law. And so he probably thinks, wait a minute, they're saying, well, why did we have that law? Why didn't God just give us the first covenant, the second covenant? Why didn't he just give us that and we wouldn't have had to go through all that other stuff? Well, now look at this, what Paul says. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of our transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Okay, this old law was given to instruct people on what sin really was. It pointed out what it was. It helped people to see that. It helped people to understand what that was. And then we have this going to last till, we might say until. It's time. It's a particular time. Until the seed should come. Anybody know what the seed is? Jesus Christ. When He comes, He will fulfill that old law. It will be set aside, and He will give a new law. And if you want to read about that new law, go to Matthew 7 and start reading those things there about what Jesus Christ taught those people in there. It's just fabulous what he's trying to say Christianity is all about. And those people at that time should have just eaten it up, but they didn't. Why? Because they didn't want to. Here Christ came, the seed came, and He came to proclaim this to everybody, to help people to see the right way to go and to know the right way to go. That's what His purpose was. That's what the old law was trying to do, was to get us up to the time when man could understand that. The old sacrifices, if Christ had died on the cross and they hadn't had those lambs that they'd sacrificed, the bulls that they'd sacrificed, they probably wouldn't have understood all that. But because they had sacrificed these animals, they knew what it was to sacrifice. They knew what it was to give up something. They knew what it was to do that. And so here these people are. And we can see, we could go on to see in Galatians there, where it talks about in verses 24 and 25, how that this was a tutor to bring us to Christ. You might know what a tutor is. It's somebody that's teaching. And there can also be those that discipline too. A lot of those nations at that time, when they would go into a country and they would take over that country, they would rule over that country, they would reign over that country, they would take their best people, their best teachers, and they would take them back to their country. And they would sometimes buy those as slaves and put them in their houses to tutor or to train their children. Maybe you've hired tutors of math and English and all that for your children. Maybe your grandchildren have a tutor. Knew a couple one time, they hired a softball fella to tutor their children all summer long. They were going to get a scholarship on that. Only problem is you don't get that many scholarships on that, and it's rough. But they had a tutor that worked with them to train them, to bring them up, to discipline them so that they would be able to do that. That's what the law was. It was to help people to mature, mankind to mature to a certain point to where they could understand this new law, understand this new commandments that God has given. And so we are able to understand and know more about that. And secondly, and the sermon's going to be ended here in a minute. Not fast enough for most people. But look at this second part. And I like this. And there's so many passages on this to understand this. What was the purpose of that old law? It was, as we've already mentioned, to help us, to train us, to get us ready. It was also to help the children of Israel to fear God. Now, I want you to look at Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10. In fact, let's look at that. This is so good. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10. Especially concerning that day, you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, where the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to do what? Y'all read it. Fear me. Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that God wants people to fear Him? Yeah. Is that what it says? I believe that's what it says. And I believe that's what it says. To fear Him. They were going to be walking among a lot of people that were going to try to pull them away from God. And He said, these people need to know they better obey my law. Now somebody says, wait a minute, that's just not good that God's teaching these people need to fear Him. Let me ask you something. Some of you may have had a parent different than mine, but there's times I feared my daddy. Didn't hurt anything, and he didn't hurt me, but I knew what I needed to do. Now you take a parent that lets a child do whatever he wants to do, he's probably going to end up in trouble. But as Proverbs says, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. It means you discipline your children in such a way as to help them to understand they don't need that. And here, he's trying to say, these people, you need to understand this. The reason the law was given is so you would fear me and all the days they lived on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach their children what? To fear God. Let me ask you, do you teach your children to fear God? Now we live in a time today where we say, no, we don't do that. We don't teach our children to fear God. Let me tell you something, we better. We better. And we better help them. Now I'm not saying we do that in a bad way, but help them to understand the power and the might of God and the strength that God has. See, that's a part of the purpose of the law. And the second thing we've got here as we're talking about, it identifies what sin really is. And I mentioned Romans 7 a while ago, 7 through 11, where Paul said, I wouldn't have known what sin was unless the law told me. You see, Paul and the other people talked about the law and not being under the law so much, and the Jews thought they hated the law. and they did not. They love that Old Testament law, but they recognized that's the not the law that they're under, the law of Moses. But they had passed that, and that knew the seed had come and given them the word that they needed to know, that they needed to listen to, and that they needed to follow. This is what they had to do. And then, as we already mentioned a while ago, in Galatians 3, starting at verse 23, it talks about this old law was a tutor to train, to teach, to help people to understand that. And I wish we had more time to spend on this, but I want us to see some of the things that we really need to learn. There's so many passages that help us in the Old and the New Testament to understand the difference between the Old and the New Law. That I'm going to tell you something. You got to be taught to misunderstand it. You have to be taught to misunderstand it. Now, if you want to read some passages, read Hebrews 8 and 9. And it's trying to show to those Jews, as we mentioned a while ago, that this old law is passed away. It was a great law. It was a law from God. It was a law that was inspired of God. But it is not the law that we are under today. It was a law that those people were under, specifically those people. It didn't really apply to the rest of the world. It applied to the Jews. Now you say, well, didn't he love the rest of the world? Yeah. He's trying to train a people to show the world the right way to go, to help them to understand about the Messiah. And they're going to teach and help other people to be able to know what that is and to be able to understand that. And so here this law of Moses was given in such a way as to help people to find out how to be saved. Romans 1 and verse 16, what does that say? I'm not ashamed. Who is that? Henry, were you going to do that or somebody? Speak it loud. Power. It's the power of God, the gospel is. It's the power of God just to the Jews? To the Jews and to the Gentiles. Remember Acts 10 where Cornelius was brought and where Peter went and Cornelius heard the gospel and he obeyed the gospel and Peter had taken along with him some people that were Jews and then he goes back to Jerusalem and he says to them, listen, the same thing that happened to us on Pentecost happened to these people, the Gentiles. Can anybody forbid water that these fellows should not be baptized? They couldn't argue with that. No way could they argue with it. God had spoken. God had shown them the right way to go. And then secondly, we're shown how to worship. We're shown how God wants us to worship. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a service where they sacrificed a bull or a goat or just a turtle dove. Anybody been in one of those? Why not? Why don't you go? Why don't we do that on Sunday morning? Instead of the Lord's Supper, we're going to have an altar up here and we're going to bring a lamb in. Just lead him right on in here. And then we're going to cut his... Mark showed some pictures this morning. Might not have liked them, but they're true. And they sacrificed that lamb. A turtle dove. They sacrificed those things. Why did they do that? That was a part of their law. Why don't we do it today? Why don't we do it, elders? Why don't we sacrifice a lamb? It's not under that law. We're not under that law. And you see, some people say, well, no, that part of the law, you don't have to be. Let me tell you something. If you're going to take it, take it. If you're not going to take it, then let it alone. And if we're going to be under the old law, let's be under the old law. Let's sacrifice like they did. Let's tear this building down and build us a temple. God said His temple is not made with hands. It's eternal. It's not made with hands. Oh, I got to get to going here. I'm not going to do it. Number three, it shows us where to go for the authority that we need before God. It helps us to understand where we need to go for that kind of authority. That God is that authority. Everything we do should be done according to the will of God, according to what God tells us to do. That's the reason that we need to be concerned about our worship and not get away from what God said in our worship. And not get away from what God says in our work and in our life. Let me tell you something. We can have all the items of worship. We can take the Lord's Supper all we want to. But if our life does not manifest the effects of our Christianity, all of this other stuff is worth nothing. All of it's worth nothing. We've got to have that. And then lastly, it shows us how to prepare to use and to benefit from the Old Testament. It shows us how we can benefit from the Old Testament. Let me tell you something, and I really mean this. If you haven't studied the Old Testament, you don't really appreciate the New Testament. You don't. You say, well, they've got so many names in there, and those fellows have got names that they just look like they took letters and put them together and rolled them out. Don't worry about the names. Don't worry about that. Look at what they did. Look at how they obeyed God. Look at how they disobeyed God. And look at what God did when people obeyed or disobeyed. And you come over to the new law, the New Testament, and you see the same God there. That He says to His people, I love you. John 3 and verse 16. He cares for you. Did the God of the Old Testament love us as much as the God of the New Testament? Yes. Same God, not a different one. He didn't grow wiser with His age. He had His wisdom all the time. And He says, you need to obey me. What do I want to do? I want to forgive people. I want to forgive people more than anything else. God does not want anybody lost. And He's made it, honestly, simple. You hear it, you believe it, and you obey it. And part of that is being willing to repent of sins. Part of it is being willing to be immersed in water. And a part of it is being willing to live according to that law, according to that faith, according to what the seed has delivered to us. That's what we've got to do. Please, look at your soul tonight. Look at your obedience to God. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. There's just no way we can emphasize that anymore. I mean, you need to obey the gospel. Because that God that shook the mountain that those Israelites stood on is the same God that has the power to shake the world. In fact, Peter talks about the world and the works that are therein are going to be burned up. And then what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Obey the gospel tonight. Repent of sins tonight. We sing this song not just as something we do at the end of a service. If that's your idea, then you're missing the point of the whole thing. We're trying to look for people. We're trying to call people to follow God. And it's not because we're so smart. It's because it's written down for us. Please come. Right now while we stand and while we sing.